Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a flip jungle impact for a rewind-worthy drop in Ableton Live 12, and this is one of those techniques that can completely change how a drum and bass section feels, because a reload moment is rarely just make it louder. The real magic is contrast. It's interruption. It's that split second where the groove collapses, the air opens up, and then the drop comes back with even more force. So our goal here is to design a short, aggressive transition built from chopped break material, reverse textures, a tight sub hit, and a few carefully controlled effects moves. Think of it less like a fill and more like a single dramatic gesture. One movement. Clear contour. Instant impact. Let's start with the source material. Pick a jungle-leaning break or an edited drum loop from your track. Ideally, choose something with a strong snare or kick transient, because that transient is going to become the anchor of the whole impact. If you want maximum control, bounce your favorite one-bar or two-bar break phrase to audio first. That usually gives you a more decisive result than working from a loop that feels too looped. If you want to go deeper, throw the break into simpler, switch it to slice mode, and slice by transient. Then trigger slices with MIDI until you find the strongest combination of kick, snare, and tail. In jungle and DNB, the break matters because the groove itself carries identity. We're not trying to erase that identity. We're trying to bend it right before the drop. Now build the flip. Focus on the last two beats before the drop. This is where the impact lives. Create a short fill that feels like a collapse of the groove, not a decorative drum run. Maybe you use a snare-led hit on beat 3, a ghosted slice on 3.5, a reverse element on beat 4, and then a micro gap right before the downbeat. That little space is important. Bass before the drop makes the return feel bigger. A lot of people over-quantize this kind of thing. Don't do that. Jungle and drum and bass need motion that feels alive. If the fill is perfectly gridlocked, it can lose that dangerous edge. So let it breathe a little. A tiny bit of swing, a slight late snare, a bit of human push and pull can make the difference between drum edit and reload moment. Once the rhythm feels good, resample it. This is a big move. Record that chop 2-beat flip to a new audio track, then trim it tightly. When the fill becomes one audio phrase, you can shape it like a unified hit instead of a bunch of slices fighting for attention. That makes the whole thing feel more designed, more intentional, and more powerful on a sound system. On the resampled flip, a solid starting chain is EQ8, saturator, and drum bus. If the low end is clashing with your sub, high pass it somewhere around 80 to 120 Hz. If it needs more density and a little saturation, maybe 2 to 5 dB of drive and turn on soft clip. Then use drum bus lightly for extra punch. Keep it controlled. We're not trying to crush the life out of the transient. Now we add the low-end punctuation. A rewind-worthy impact needs weight, but not mud. So create a short sub-hit using operator with a sine wave. Give it a very short decay, no sustain, and maybe a tiny downward pitch envelope if you want a little extra punch. Keep the sub mono with utility. That's important. A wide sub will weaken the impact and smear the handoff into the drop. The best placement depends on your arrangement, but a really effective move is to let the sub land right at the turn, then give the full bass line a micro gap before it returns. That tiny absence can make the drop feel like it's being sucked back into the track. Now for the flip part, the thing that gives the listener that rewind sensation. Duplicate a short snare hit, break tail, or transient from the fill. Reverse it, and place it just before the drop. Then shade it with auto filter and maybe a little reverb. Start the filter fairly closed and open it quickly toward the downbeat. The idea is not to create a giant obvious swoosh. It's to create the feeling that the drop is being pulled backward for a second. That's why reverse elements work so well in jungle and DNB. The ear hears the motion and expects release, and then the drop arrives and slams through that expectation. At this point, we've got the key ingredients. The break transient, the sub hit, and the reversed pre-impact. Now we stack the impact properly. Think in three layers: transient, body, and air. The transient is your snare or kick crack. The body is your low mid and sub energy. The air is your noise burst, cymbal splash, or filtered top layer. If each layer owns its own space, the impact becomes much clearer. If they all compete in the same frequency band, the whole thing gets flatter. So you might have one layer made from a snare-heavy break chop, one layer from operator or a short 808 style sign for the low-end hit, and one layer from noise or a very short cymbal for the top. Send those into a group and glue them lightly with glue compressor. Slow attack, medium release, just 1 or 2 dB of reduction. Enough to unify it, not enough to kill the punch. And here's a teacher-style tip that matters a lot. Use clip gain aggressively. Even a 1 or 2 dB change on the key hit can completely change whether the transition feels dramatic or just crowded. Sometimes the biggest improvement is not adding something. It's turning one thing down. Now let's make the arrangement work for us. A flip impact gets much stronger when everything around it pulls away. So automate your bass and atmospheric layers. Close the bass filter a little in the last half bar. Dip the bass volume by a dB or two. Thin out hats or rides for a beat. Open the reverb send on a texture, then cut it. That little vacuum gives the impact somewhere to land. This is the part where the moment stops being just a sound design trick and becomes arrangement design. A classic setup might be full groove for the first section, then tension builds, then the drums thin slightly, the atmosphere opens up, and finally the flip lands at the end of the phrase. On the next downbeat, the drop comes back with a slightly different drum edit, maybe a different hat pattern. Maybe it a ghost note, maybe one extra break hit. That variation is important, because if the drop comes back exactly the same, the impact loses some of its authority. You want the listener to feel, oh, we're somewhere new now, even if the main groove is still familiar. A few advanced variations are worth trying here. One is a halftime illusion flip. Briefly imply a slower pulse in the last beat or two, then snap back into full tempo energy on the drop. Another is the dual impact approach, where you place a smaller pre-hit one beat before the drop, then the main impact right on the downbeat. That false landing can make the real landing feel huge. You can also do a bass punctuation flip, where the bass mirrors the drum rhythm for a moment. That makes the transition feel more intentional, like the drums and bass are speaking the same language right before the drop. And if your flip feels weak, remember the simplest fix: reduce information. In DNB, less right before the drop often creates more perceived force. One clear gesture hits harder than a mini drum solo. Let's talk about common mistakes, because this is where a lot of flips fall apart. First, too much happening at once. Too many slices, too many effects, too much movement. The best reload moments usually read in one pass, even on a loud PA. Keep the idea simple. Second, no contrast before the drop. If the build is already at maximum density, the flip won't have any room to hit. Thin the arrangement. Remove something. Create space. Third, muddy low end. Keep the sub mono, check your sample start points, and make sure the sub transient isn't arriving late. A slightly delayed low end hit can smear the whole transition. Fourth, the reverse effect is too long or too obvious. Shorten it, filter it, and make it feel like tension rather than a big generic swoosh. And finally, loud does not automatically mean punchy. Punch comes from transient contrast, clean layering, and smart space. For heavier or darker DNB, I'd strongly recommend keeping the low end focused and dirtying the mid-range instead. Add character around 200Hz to 2kHz if you need aggression, but keep the sub solid and clean. That's where the club pressure lives. So here's the workflow in one sentence. Chop a break, shape the last two beats into a flip, resample it, layer transient, sub, and air, reverse a hit into the downbeat, automate the surrounding space, and bring the drop back with a small variation. That's your rewind-worthy impact. Now for a quick practice challenge. Build one 8-bar drop transition in Ableton Live 12 using only a break chop, one reversed hit, one sub note, and one FX layer. Then make two more versions, one more minimal, one more aggressive. Export all three, listen on headphones and speakers, and ask yourself which one feels strongest at low volume and which one feels strongest in a club context. Because the real goal here isn't just to make a cool transition. It's to make the smallest possible flip that still makes the drop feel like a reload. That's the move. That's the energy. And once you can do that cleanly, you've got a serious DNB arrangement tool in your pocket.